When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
David Wells has pitched a perfect game. 27 up, 27 down. Baseball immortality for David Wells. And the Yankees win. The Yankees win.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
You're now rocking with the best, Keith McPherson on The Fan. Let's get to 2 a.m. Let's take your calls at 888-808-1019. We are going to, spoiler alert, talk sports. That's why you listen to the station, right? Let's get into it. And like I said, this is not Aaron Rodgers, Daniel Jones radio tonight. I mean, it is most of the day. I'm good on that, bro. Please. Like, everybody's so obsessed with football. I love football, too. I'm a football guy. Football changed my life. Being kind of good at football for like 10 years changed my entire life. But I love baseball, and I am in full bloom love with this Yankees team. I every night, man, I lock in and watch this team, and I'm geeked up. Every night I watch this team, and it's like I feel like a kid again because I'm getting this feeling. And I'm not going to jinx anything. I'm not that powerful. Nobody's that powerful. But, man, you understand what we're watching, right? You understand. And we're going to get to the phones because I'm not going to, you know, I don't have that much time. But, like, I was at the Dodgers series Friday and Saturday. I didn't go Sunday. I wish I did. That was the best game to go to. I had a show on Sunday here at the Fan, but I had to be a family man. I can't go to all three games anymore like I used to when I didn't have a baby. But I watched those games. And you know, people are acting like the Yankees got smoked by the Dodgers. Nah, that's not the case. We definitely got smoked by the Dodger fans. I tried to tell y'all they were coming. But like, man, when you look at those games, please go back and think about Friday. C-Mac and I did BT and Sal's show on Friday, and we were waiting on the news of Juan Soto. When you remove a Juan Soto from the lineup, it takes the air out of the entire Yankee universe. So I didn't expect them to come out on Friday, even though Cody Poteet pitched so well and they took that game scoreless into extras. I didn't expect that lineup to come out and light it up because it wasn't the lineup. And this year we actually have consistent, balanced lineups every night. So when you remove Juan Soto, the walk merchant, that's not disrespect. When you remove Juan Soto, who changes how pitchers have to pitch, Volpe, Judge, everybody else, he works his walks, every pitch is a battle. When you remove the force that is the Centurion Ferrari, the generational Juan Soto, the whole fan base is like, man, what are we doing? Like, you know, all right, you know, this is the biggest series of the season, and we're down a guy that is like one of the marquee guys. I'm not making excuses, but look how quickly the Yankees return to just putting up runs with ease with that guy back in the lineup. And it's not him driving in the runs. It's not him doing the damage. But him being back in the lineup gets us back to what the Yankees have been doing all season. 888-808-1019. I don't care about no inflammation. This guy plays every day. Okay? He just had his rest. Play him. If he's got some inflammation, take some Advil, ice it. I have some inflammation from my hernia surgery. I've been popping Advils and icing it, and I'm still showing up to work. This Yankees team, they are building something here. They are building towards being a champion. Keep them healthy. Keep the same lineup for the most part. It depends on who we're facing, right? Obviously, tonight, Verdugo didn't bat cleanup. And you had, this opener. They were cooked. I knew they didn't stand a chance, the Royals tonight. I'm on a break from betting because I bet over the weekend and lost too much money. I put myself on, I'm grounded timeout. I can't bet. But I knew tonight they were going to rock them. The lineup being consistent is so key. And when I'm watching this Yankees team, I just feel like they are the best team in baseball, and they can compete with any team in baseball. And it's unfortunate that we had to remove one of the top five players in baseball this past weekend. But the silver lining in all of it is, if we somehow magically do face the Dodgers in the Fall Classic, we did not show our hand. We did not have Juan Soto. We did not have Gerrit Cole. And we didn't have Jason Dominguez, who will stay in AAA. You guys saw the news today. Dominguez will stay in AAA. And John Birdie, you can forget about him. I know a couple of nights ago I was talking about, well, you know, John Birdie comes back, and that's a guy that they traded for. And then John Birdie's on the 60-day IL. It is what it is. I don't even remember what we gave up for John Birdie. We'll talk trade deadline. We'll do all of that. Let's get to the phones. You guys know the new number. It's 888-808-1019, like FM. Matt is in Monroe. Matt, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. How are you? Big fan.
I'm good. Thanks for calling in. Appreciate it.
Yeah, I got 2 points and then a question for you. And after the question, you can expound and let us know your thoughts. On the first point, how great is it to watch Stan right now?
I love it.
He came in December, lighter, ready to play after such a bad year last year. I'm so happy for him. And you don't even know. It's such a great thing to see.
I was such a big Stanton fan. His 2014 year with the Marlins, I was in the Fan Cave. That was the year he got hit in the face. And then in 2017, I went down to Miami to watch him chase 60 that final series, and he didn't hit a home run in that final series. I had no idea he'd be a Yankee. But then when he became a Yankee, I'm
nice.
Like, okay, the evil empire is back. And, man, he struggled, and I've been in that stadium when they booed him, and he stands in front of his locker, and he takes it, and he's been nothing
every
but
time.
A pro. And then this offseason, he had to deal with Brian Cashman calling him out, saying that being injured is a part of his game, and he took that and got in better shape and showed up, and now all he's doing is DHing, and they rest him every week, and he's mashing home runs when we need him to. This is a guy that is going to be in consideration for the Hall of Fame when it's all said and done. This is a guy doing what we need him to do, and I love watching Giancarlo Stanton hit almost 500-foot home runs.
No doubt. It's fantastic. The other point I was going to make is, so I'm ready to go with the 7-man rotation. I mean, this guy, Cody Poteet, holy crap, right?
You got to love it, man. It's an embarrassment of riches. The rich just get richer. There's no problem here. That would have been a whole narrative if Cody Poteet came in against the Giants, against the Dodgers, against the and it was terrible. We'd be like, oh, I'll get Gerrit Cole here right now. Now we're like, Cole, take your time. We're good. And we're like, who do we take out of the rotation?
Whatever you need. Exactly. And then my question, and I'll hang up. I love seeing you as a Yankee fan, as a a Jersey guy who goes to games, because that, you can be a Yankee fan, but you got to be a Yankee fan who goes to games. To be a color commentator, how was that? Because it really felt awesome to hear you do that.
Yeah. Couple things. Thank you, Matt, for the call. And I do agree with going to the game. I know it's hard to go to games. I'm blessed to have the access that I have, but I didn't always have this access. And I was spending my money and time traveling to the stadium, and there's just a difference between being a TV watching fan and a stadium fan. And I don't think I get to where I've gotten without being a stadium fan, without trying to log 40 games a year. That was always my goal. I'm gonna hit that goal again this year. I couldn't do it last year with the baby. I hit like 25, but for me it's important because there's so much that goes on that you can't see or know as a Yankee fan through the YES Network lens and broadcast, or through national television, Fox or Apple TV or ESPN. Man, there's so many things I've unlocked about the Yankees and Yankee fans by going to the Bronx. I encourage you to go to games, and I'm not getting paid anything extra to tell you to do that. And I'm not trying to, sell tickets. I'm just telling you for your own fandom as a fan. Like, I was a TV watching fan growing up. I never went to games. Nobody took me to a game. I looked at the Yankees like a TV show. It was, it was primetime television every night for me. And to get the chance to sit in Susan Waltman's chair and look out at Yankee Stadium and have that headset on and know I was talking to so many Yankee fans that might have been sitting in there listening to the game, whether they had their headsets or whether they were in Legends or in the bathroom, might have been driving somewhere, couldn't physically see the game. It was awesome, but it was a lot. It was system overload. My heart was exploding. My brain was exploding. It was a lot to process because I had been in that stadium so many Fridays and Saturdays and never seen it from that vantage point. But it was such a blessing and so awesome to do. I hope I get a chance to do it again. I'll be more prepared and less nervous, and I hope I get more notice. I hope I get I think I only had like 10 days notice that I was going to do this. The next time I'll definitely be more prepared. I won't be as nervous. If the creatures do the roll call and say my name, I won't get choked up. And, I'd never called a baseball game before. The only games I had ever called were football games when I was 16, quarterback of Ocean High School, calling the Pop Warner games for $50 on Sundays. 888-808-1019. Let's keep rolling. Peter in Hillsboro on the Fan in New York. Peter, what you got?
Well, I was just at the Mets game today, and when we're talking about New York baseball, it feels like a tale of two cities right now. Like, I'm listening to you guys talk about the Yankees, and I'm over here talking about the Mets, and we're like, yo, we're only three out of the wild card. There's you guys 20 games over 500, and I'm just like, what are we doing? And then I look at Jeff McNeil come to the plate, and I'm wearing a jersey, and just all the energy in the stadium dies. Not a single person cheering.
All right, we lost Peter because I guess he's driving from the stadium still, or he said he just came from the stadium. It's choppy, and I know it's tough right now for Mets fans, but they put up 10 runs and they won the game. So, you know, and I had something that went out. I think Ryan Chichester wrote an article about, me saying that, like, Mets fans, I said something about, like, you know, the Angels fans don't compare themselves to Dodgers fans or maybe they do. I'm not in those other cities. But what I've been saying is, like, you got to stop looking over the fence at your neighbor. You got to stop looking at the Yankees and saying, well, the Yankees are this, and I'm listening to this, and I know we share everything. We share the radio. We share the TV. We share the subways and streets and neighborhoods. There's a Yankee fan next to a Mets fan, but it's like, the Yankees are in their own lane and the Mets are in their own lane. And I know Jeff McNeil has been super disappointing, and you might have a Jeff McNeil jersey off that batting title season. And tonight he goes 0-for-4 with two strikeouts. You scored 10 runs. You hit three home runs. Lindor is doing his thing. A little tweak in the lineup with Bader batting second worked. Marte is doing his thing. And you know what? Tyrone Taylor had a four-hit night tonight. So, I mean, instead of focusing on Jeff McNeil and the bad, focus on the good and you'll feel better about your team. Focus on the good and you'll feel better about today. Another opportunity to win a game and win a series, and maybe you will be this postseason team. Maybe you will look at the wild card standings. As we're getting further in the season, you'll look at the wild card standings and it'll become more real for you to be one of those teams. But, you know, the negativity, I know it. The Yankee fans love the negativity, but the Yankees haven't really given them anything to be negative about. For the Met fan, you put up 10 runs tonight. You have the opportunity to go out there tomorrow, or it's already tomorrow, tonight, and win a game at home against the Marlins, try and help your season record against the Marlins, and focus on that. Jeff McNeil is what it is. You haven't even seen him that much recently. Obviously, we all know he's struggling. He's not the guy he used to be. He's most likely getting traded, whether you're buyers or sellers. 888-808-1019. Ross is in Bergen County. Ross is on the Fan pretty much every day.
Hey, what's up? What's going on, Keith? Yeah, I was just going to say, it's been a minute because I wrapped up school today, so I don't got to worry about sneaking in.
Had to take some finals, had to do some exams, final papers. I don't miss that.
I don't got to keep it on the wall anymore. You know, wake up my parents. It's a school night.
Yeah, I don't miss living with my parents either. My mom.
I hear you, man. Anyway, man. So, yeah, I mean, listen, you know, I know this is kind of in the past. This is the first time. I don't want to get mainly into it since, you know, it's been like a couple weeks now. It's the first time I talked to you since the Rangers debacle. All I got to say, it's the same song and dance because, you know, it's old news at this point. But, you know, we see these finals. I mean, you know, you're 5-0 right now between the Celtics and Panthers. I don't know if these are wrapping up prior to the end of next week. Do we really see no competitiveness at all between, you know, Dallas kind of put up a fight a little bit, but, you know, other than that, it's been a cruise for both of them.
Yeah. The Panthers the Panthers and the Celtics are going to win it, and the writing was on the wall all season.
Yeah, no doubt about it. But, I mean, listen, you know, we got the gateway to baseball now. I mean, obviously, you know, look at the Yankees. They've been the topic of discussion, you know, more often than not, for good reason. I mean, you know, you kind of talk about the Mets. You kind of got to nitpick it at this point. Because, look, I mean, obviously, I call it more often than not. I'm looking at it from the negative side. You got a lot of the you got to believe side, and everybody all you know, Mr. You know, everybody looking at it from the bright perspective, and I think kind of I don't want to say it was the June swoon of this year because it's even earlier, but the 3-7 against the whole West Coast stretch at home. I mean, you took the two against Arizona, you had that one throwing game against San Francisco. I mean, how many of those? And even prior to that, they had that stat. It was like the 6-1 lead they had eighth inning or later. Mm. They blew like six games when no other team had more than two. I mean, that's just digging your own grave right then and there. It's kind of stuff in their control. The fact that they're only three games back and how many of those games they had in their hand and woefully let slip, you know, for stupid crap. I mean, they're the reason why they're not a winning team. They're for no other reason.
Gotta look forward to getting guys back and the schedule ahead. I know it's tough. I'm speaking as not a Mets fan. I know.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? Maybe we got a spot for Grimace in our rotation. It's just a disaster.
Well, you got Luis Severino coming up, LGYM, and Sevy's been solid this year, and you should look to take these two games from the Marlins and take the series.
But, dude, it's a two-way street. What's the name you brought up before? And Michael Tonkin. You could have used him in your bullpen when he had an 18 ERA in his five appearances and then came back for another one. He went to Minnesota. He came back. He was just as bad. So I don't. And you got.
So that's coaching.
Lopez incident.
I said Matt Blake sprinkled some pixie dust on him or something. Yeah. Like the Twins couldn't figure it out. The Mets couldn't figure it out twice. He's been solid for the Yankees.
Dude, how many of these guys have been in and out? It's him, Lopez. You know that whole debacle.
Lopez signed with the Cubs.
He just signed with the Cubs. Yeah, I'm watching Texas Dodgers. I just saw Johan Ramirez out there. How many of these guys are in and out? And he had a stint with Baltimore, I think. And I think they just bring these guys back and forth. Obviously, you know, Joey Wendell, the worst player in the MLB. Even Atlanta didn't want anything to do with him because they kept it going with Zach Short. They picked him up. I think he's still on their bench. They tried running it with Joey Wendell. I don't think he lasts the full 24 hours on the roster. So, that's nice. And I know, you know, the FCC and everybody, there's certain words that, you know, me and you could both use to describe him because sucks isn't good enough. He is just beyond garbage, but that's for another day. I mean, he couldn't even make the Rumble Ponies, but, you know, whatever with that. But as far as the deadline goes, man, you look at guys like Severino and, you know, Bader, and I think my Manaya has another year, but, you know, you never know after last year's deadline. It's going to be interesting, man. I know we got 2 months, so, you know, you're kind of shooting it early, but who knows? They got all these one-year pieces they signed for a reason in these bridge deals, so, you know, they're expendable, and, you know, they got options. They got to play their cards right.
How would you feel if Brian Cashman and David Stearns got together and made a trade for Pete Alonso to come over here to the Yankees?
You know what, man? At this point, I'm open to anything. I mean, listen, the Lindor and Nimmo talks, they're irrational. They're never going to get moved. McNeil, I'd let him go the first chance he got, but I don't know who would want him. And as far as Pete goes, I mean, listen, I was one of those people I was calling up and saying, you're a team that has as depleted of a history as any other team in the league. You look at guys like, you know, Darryl Strawberry leading most of your, you know, stat categories, and even he never really reached his full potential to what he was supposed to be when he got drafted. You look at a guy like Alonso came flying right out of the gates, has the chance to basically take every stat category in your team's history by storm, and now this is 2 years in a row. He falls flat on his face when it matters most. I mean, you know, people bring up Lindor. You know, he's good for a solo shot or a two-run bomb when they're either up or down 5 or 6 runs in the ninth. I mean, Pete's kind of in that same boat. You know, when it's a 5-run game in the ninth inning, he's Barry Bonds, but when, you know, you got a base-loaded 2-out situation, he's a ground ball machine. So I don't know, and the money he wants is insane. Even if, you know, you cut that price down a little bit, is that still – and I'm not even so big, not to, you know, ramble, I'm not even that big on the positional thing either. You know, you got a guy like, you know, Olsen and Freeman we saw a couple of years ago. you got a really good first baseman, I don't care if it's a position, you know, like shortstop is where you prioritize the long-term deals. You know, if you got a stud at that position, regardless of where it is, I say you lock him up. But, you know, this is 2 years in a row now where Pete's not showing up. You kind of brought up with Gleyber, too, contract year. And just, you know, when you're supposed to, and we saw with Conforto, you know, when you're supposed to have your A game with a contract come up and you have this type of season, man, I don't know if that's something you should commit to long term. And I don't think the Mets should do it at this point.
I don't think they will either. Thanks for the call, Ross. 888-808-1019. I mean, Pete goes out and gets Scott Boras, baseball's Bond villain. Pete has been here for so long, the face of the Mets. He's watched all types of different all-stars come through his clubhouse, get paid the mega millions by Steve Cohen, and he wants his money, and I think he's good as gone. I don't want him with the New York Yankees. I'm not interested with that at all. But the conversation has been out there, has been floated out there, and yeah, you know, it's supposed to be a prove-it year. You know, it's just crazy to see Aaron Judge have the most ridiculous prove-it year we've ever seen in sports. And it's also crazy that people think he's not the best player in baseball and not in the conversation as one of the best hitters you've ever seen. I mean, people say anything online these days. Let's go out to Long Island. Junior on Long Island, you're on the Fan in New York.
Hey, good morning, Mr. McPherson Jr. We met on Juan Soto Jersey Day. You took a picture of me. My daughter took it.
Yes, sir, I remember. Did you have fun that night? It was good to meet you.
Yeah, thank you. And I kind of felt bad. There was a situation, I guess, with these jerseys. I was able to finesse two more and kind of felt bad about that.
Nah, you were on it, bro. You were on it because you had a bag to hide your jersey. I said, you're trying to put me on. I'm like, I put my jersey. As soon as I got my jersey, I put it on because security pressed me. They thought I was trying to get two jerseys because I had a ticket in my credential. I'm like, nah, I'm not trying to do that. I'm good with my one jersey. I'm not trying to take a jersey away from somebody else. But, like, a lot of the creatures, man, they finessed the giveaways. A couple of the guys, John, Sean, they had, like, five jerseys each.
Yeah, I was able to get two because my daughter, like, kind of sneaked up next to me and she just grabbed one, too. I was like, okay.
They are selling these jerseys online right now for $70, $80, $100. People were buying. I saw someone exchange $80 cash in the stadium for one.
Yeah, I just happened to have two older kids that couldn't make the game, so it worked out. Everybody got a jersey.
Awesome. Good dad.
Thank you. I actually wanted to bring up a point regarding now that Gleyber's hitting. And listen, first time calling, like I said, I've never called. Always been a listener since the beginning. So first time I'm calling. But I wanted to make a point. Now that Gleyber's hitting, is it time maybe to move him? Maybe, bullpen?
Of course, right? That's why you're playing him every day. That's why you're not punishing him by, you know, by sitting him down and trying to teach him a lesson. That's done. The lessons are done. You want him to hit home runs, to add to his batting average, his RBI, like his home run totals, so that you can say, like, hey, we got a guy that plays second base that can hit for you if you need a guy. You need him to raise his stock.
Yeah, we move DJ over and then put, you know, Cabrera at third, and, you know, we'll have a utility guy on the bench, and then maybe we'll get some bullpen with Gleyber. I mean, that's the only weakness I see right now.
I would love that. If we could trade Gleyber for a bullpen arm, one-to-one, done.
Yeah, because I think Poteet, they'll probably move him to the bullpen, make him a long guy, make, like, maybe Luke Weaver, make him, like, the eighth inning guy. But, you know, he's the only other guy that I trust.
Yeah, we need more lefties out of the pen. I expect them to go get a left-handed pitcher. We'll see.
Hey, I appreciate your time, mister. Like I said, I finally called.
See, crazy, yep. I told you, I always shout out to people that never call but listen, and I got to meet you in person, and that prompted you to call. So, appreciate it, man.
Yep, I'll keep listening. You have a great night. Keep up the good work.
888-808-1019. I will get into the conversation about the NBA Finals as the Boston Celtics have taken a 3-0 lead. I hate the Celtics, bro. I know you guys have heard me say that so much. Like, they're like my least favorite team. I saw a tweet today that read, "That man rather die than see the Boston Celtics win another championship." Rest in peace, you know, all jokes aside, to Jerry West, the logo. If you're not familiar with Jerry West in, like, so many different capacities, ESPN did a great job of just showing the young people who Jerry West was, man. I saw a clip of Jerry West talking about how nowadays everybody's a dog, right? The Knicks are dogs. The Yankees are dogs. Jerry West didn't say that. But he's like, everybody's a dog in sports. He said, you know what I was? I was a wolf. I ate dogs. I went after the dogs. I'm like, I like that. I like that Jerry West. And if you've ever seen clips of Jerry West, he had his way. If you ever watched that HBO show on the Lakers, I know Jerry West didn't like the way he was depicted there. But Jerry West, man, I don't think they'll ever change the NBA logo. There was some conversation when Kobe passed about making Kobe the logo. No. There was conversation about Jordan, making Jordan a logo. No, Jordan has his Jumpman logo. Rest in peace, Jerry West. He is the logo. They'll never change that logo because Jerry West is someone that did it as a player, as a coach, and as an executive and just had his hand in so many different things in the NBA, obviously with the Lakers, but like, he's a legend. And, you know, I saw that tweet today about, you know, the Celtics. The Celtics win this finals. They have the most finals wins in history. And I know people are going to pick at that with, you know, Bill Russell and going back to, I don't know, man. I just hate the Boston Celtics. I hate their fans. I hate the fake garden, the parquet floors, Lucky the Leprechaun, and how they act about like stepping on Lucky the Leprechaun. Oh, Kyrie right now. Kyrie's cooked. Kyrie, you knew Kyrie was going to go out there tonight and try and do something, right? Luka is compromised. Luka don't play any defense. Luka's tired. You wonder why Michael Finley took that beer from him after the Western Conference Finals, right? Remember that? Michael Finley was like, let me get that beer, bro. Like, you're not even in good enough shape to be drinking beers. You need to rest and recover. Beer is not going to help that. Like, job's not finished. Job done? No, job's not done. We gotta go face the Boston Celtics in the finals. And tonight without Kristaps Porzingis, like, watching that first half, I thought that Dallas was going to do something. I really did. And I was hoping that they would do something because I'd rather see the Mavs win, the Dallas Mavericks, than the Celtics. But there's nothing we can do at this point, man. I mean, even early on in that game, right, like Jaylen Brown didn't have a great first half. It didn't matter. They didn't have Porzingis. It didn't matter. Jason Tatum showed himself today. If you do want to talk about the NBA Finals and the NBA, call me up. But obviously, Yankee fans on the line, stay there. We'll get to you. Mets fans on the line, stay there. Mets fans, call up. We'll talk about Jeff McNeil if you want to talk about Jeff. I just feel like there are other things to talk about, man. Positive things to talk about. We get it. McNeil is not the player that you thought he was when you paid him. He's struggling. Nobody's looking forward to him coming up to the plate. I mentioned that they changed the lineup up with Bader batting second. Like, McNeil is your nine hitter, and this guy owns a batting title, and it wasn't like the batting title was a decade ago. It was a couple seasons ago, and that's not great. But what's great is the Mets are getting enough pitching, and tonight the lineup change worked. You tip your cap to Carlos Mendoza, LGYM, let's go Yankee Mets. The Mets score 10, the Yankees score 11. It's positive energy. We've got more to do, more to talk about. Keith McPherson on the Fan coming up next. My Casamigos big shot of the night. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 888-808-1019. Powered by AT&T Business.
Casamigos big shot of the night is brought to you by Casamigos Tequila. Casamigos Tequila is brought to you by those who drink it. I don't think I've ever messed that up. Sorry, Casamigos. They won't mind. Anyway, it's Jose Trevino. Trevi. So Trevi blows this game open, and he hits that homer. He ends up with two hits, three ribbies, and he obviously caught the game for Cody Poteet, who was solid as well. And, man, I said refresh your information on the Yankee catchers. It's not the first month of the season anymore, right? When these guys both had terrible batting averages and weren't doing anything, they are hitting. They are contributing. They are hitting home runs. Austin Wells two nights ago, and Trevino last night. And Trevi, that's my dog, man. Here's a little story for you, a little nugget going back to, you know, me getting the opportunity to do Susan Waldman's job. I met Trevi. He came to my hometown. He literally came to a gym walking distance from my hood, like in the back of the apartment complex that I grew up. Trevino showed up for a pictures and autograph signing and meet and greet type of thing. And he's great. You know, him and I have connected online since he came to the Yankees. We also ran into each other in L.A. at the All-Star game in the hotel. And I forget where else I saw him. And it's always all love. It's always like cool because he's from Corpus Christi, Texas. He is a Yankee fan, Cowboys fan. He grew up rooting for the Yankees because of his dad, and obviously growing up rooting for the Dallas Cowboys. And so I already have that rapport with him from online, him following me on Instagram and seeing me post Dallas Cowboys stuff, which I don't do anymore. I'm disowning the Dallas Cowboys. It is what it is. Like, we'll see what they look like this year. But anyway, Trevino loves the Dallas Cowboys. And when I saw him at Outpost, the gym in Ocean Township, New Jersey, he's showing me videos of him in Philly going to see the Cowboys play against the Eagles. And he's with Booney and they're on the field. And he's not a tall guy. He's not a big man. He's showing me Eagles fans heckling him, walking behind him, you know, saying stuff to him. And they don't know that he's Jose Trevino, platinum glove, all-star catcher from the New York Yankees. And so when I got to do the star of the game, doing Susan's star of the game, the second game that Saturday against the White Sox, Trevino homered, and Luis Gil had broke the record for strikeouts. So I asked for Trevino to be my star of the game. And as I walked up to him, he flashed me his notebook. And I'd heard about this notebook. He takes meticulous notes. But he flashes me his notebook, and it's a shiny Dallas Cowboys notebook. And he kind of did it to be like, yo, look at me repping the Dallas Cowboys in the Yankees dugout and on the field in Yankee Stadium. So shout out to Trevi. That's my guy. He's my Casamigos big shot of the night tonight. Appreciate you, bruh. Appreciate you. 888-808-1019. All those eights, because this is Aaron Rodgers and Daniel Jones Radio. 24/7, except when I'm on. I don't care that Aaron Rodgers is in here. Again, I'll reiterate it from last night. I do not care that Aaron Rodgers is in here. It's not going to change anything. Aaron Rodgers is not going to learn anything more about football, and the Jets aren't going to be any less off with Tyrod Taylor. If anything, Tyrod Taylor stands to gain, you know, with a new team, Tyrod Taylor stands to gain some valuable reps and experience. Good. Obviously, Aaron Rodgers has shown up for non-mandatory workouts. He was there at the end of the year when he could have literally been done for the end of the year, went to California, whatever, just been around. He was practicing at the end of the year. Like, I think Aaron Rodgers has built up enough goodwill in that building where, yes, it's an unexcused absence in NFL terms because it's mandatory, but it's just a scheduling conflict. I have no idea where Aaron Rodgers is. I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt that it is something important to him as far as, I won't even say family, because reportedly he doesn't have a great relationship with his family, but something important to him as far as his business, his life values, his priorities. Maybe he's in South America on another ayahuasca trip, but like, I'm sure he booked that. Whether he booked it or not, knowing when minicamp was going to be, it's not important. We've spent 2 days talking about it, and so many people have helicoptered in to talk about it. And it's like, give the guy a break. And this is coming from me. I've been tough on Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is a song that doesn't end. It just goes on and on, my friend. Some Jets fans started singing it, not knowing what it was, and they will keep on singing it forever just because. And Daniel Jones is another song that doesn't end. I mean, give this guy a break. This guy can't win out here. From the moment he was drafted, I was at the Ainsworth the night that he was drafted around Giants fans, and the moans and groans and upset faces, I'll just never forget. I'll never forget the viral Joe Budden video when Joe Budden saw them draft Daniel Jones, and then that other video of the three kids that were making like a human train, and I think they thought they were getting Josh Allen, who went to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And when they announced Daniel Jones, quarterback, Duke, these kids hit the ground. The one kid was convulsing. I'll never forget that. That was great. And there's been so many other things. Daniel Jones can't catch a break. He's rehabbing from his torn ACL. He can't get first team reps, so they're going with Drew Lock. And I don't know what's going to happen this year, but I'm rooting for Daniel Jones. I am. I don't think he's going to be very good. I think they have some weapons now. I don't think he's going to be very good. So there's my contribution to WFAN, Aaron Rodgers, Daniel Jones Radio. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Back to the phones. We're obviously going to talk about the Yankees. Duh. Lewis and Elizabeth, you got it.
What up? What up?
What up? What up?
You can hear me?
We all
can.
Yeah,
man. We go back, man. The first time I actually saw you was when you were doing that with Joe's McFly show. When I left a voice message back in the day.
Word. Pinstripe Strong Pod? Pinstripe Strong Army?
Yeah,
those were fun, man. I was just talking about that.
I was that Lou from Columbia dude that left that one voicemail.
Yo, shout out to you, bro. Those were fun times. The only thing I used to hate, it's funny. I'm up till 2 a.m. doing these shows. The only thing I used to hate about those podcasts, I used to be so tired doing those shows after the series ended late at night.
Yeah. So it's funny because I remember you in those podcasts, you would talk about how you used to rap or you rap. And I actually met you after game 5 when we beat the Guardians. And I kicked the 16 for you right after. I don't know if you remember that. That was against the Guardians a couple years ago.
Yeah, and I don't have any bars prepared. I'd never have
yeah,
any.
Yeah, like, that's what you said.
But you had something ready,
Yeah, you remember that. All right, so that's me. Just showing you love, man. I've seen your growth, basically. I love your passion. It's fine to agree and disagree with some things that we all say. I definitely agree with the whole Dodger situation, how a lot of Yankee fans were like, damn, we didn't show up against the Dodgers, blah, blah, blah. Game 1, we should have won. You know what I'm saying? And
absolutely.
Game 2, it got away. And we would have won game 1, and won game 3 would have been a different story. We would have
Imagine the Yankees win those. If they win Friday night and obviously win game 2 without Juan Soto, then everybody is on our, like.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, I'm not too worried. You can't really go by 3 games, we got to see.
It's baseball. It's baseball, and it's the Dodgers. They got a $1 billion spent in the offseason. Good for them and their fans. They had a hell of a time here in New York.
I'm not concerned, but as a Yankee fan, the only thing that I need to see with my eyes is how we respond to the Orioles. That's the only thing I want to see, because this is just my opinion based on my fandom. I think the Orioles are going to be are the new Astros without, the knocking us out of the playoffs, but that's like the team we got to beat. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, they're going to be a pain in the ass. They're going to be in the way. They're not going anywhere, and they got new ownership. They're going to trade for a guy like Corbin Burns and be able to pay for him. And now that they've got all these young stars, they're going to be able to pay for him. So they're not going anywhere. You're 100% right about the Orioles being the new team that stands in our way.
That's the team to beat. But that's what I wanted to say, man. God bless you, man. And I'll run up on you in the stadium again. I'll say what up.
Yeah, let me know. Appreciate you, bro. That's cool. Man, damn, do I appreciate Yankee fans that have seen me through all of these years now, at least a decade from the Fan Cave to now. Man, I did 3 different Yankees podcasts. And honestly, I didn't want to do any of them. None of them were my idea. There was not one time that I was like, oh, a Yankees podcast? That'd be a good idea, because there's 300 Yankees podcasts. And Yankee fans think they're the smartest fans in the world. If you say one thing wrong or one thing people disagree with, you don't know anything about baseball. And that's my biggest pet peeve. I love the game, but I don't think I know everything about the game. I learn something new about baseball every single year. And you should do that too. You should keep learning. You're never too old to learn something. You don't know everything about baseball. So as far as being someone on a podcast, right, if you misspeak or you say a stat wrong or some history or something wrong, it's, oh, you're dumb, or you're not a real fan, or you don't know anything. It's like, bro, miss me with that. I am a real fan. as far as pulling up to that stadium and rooting for the team. 888-808-1019. Let's go to Patrick in Dumont, New Jersey. You got it.
Hey, how are you? So my question was about Jason Dominguez.
Yeah.
So do you think Dominguez can replace Soto with Soto walks after this season?
Yeah, I actually recently had the conversation about, like, if Soto, because there was a post out there, shout out to my boy Gabe, and Gabe, you were late on it, bro. I've been, like, Gabe tried to take claim for knowing the suitors, but there was a post out there, I think ESPN put it, you know, teams that are going to be suitors for Juan Soto. The top two are the Yankees and the Mets, obviously. But then it had the Blue Jays, the Giants, the Washington Nationals, and the Texas Rangers. And if Soto has multiple offers out there that are higher than the Yankees want to go, and he does say, all right, I just want the most money, goodbye. We got backup plans. Jason Dominguez comes up, you put Judge back in right, and Verdugo is going to get a ton of money thrown at him. Right now, Verdugo is the best. I don't know. I don't. The numbers might have changed. But at least in the last couple weeks, Verdugo has been regarded as the best defensive left fielder in baseball. And somebody is going to pay for that left-handed bat in that defense. And the Yankees can't offer him and offer Juan Soto. I think this upcoming offseason, this winter, it's going to be Juan Soto and that's it, Yankee fans. And we'll be content with that if we get him. But if we don't, there's so many contingency plans. Spencer Jones exists, right? Like if we're really talking about it, you bring Verdugo back and then the outfield is Judge and right, Dominguez in center field, Verdugo on left, and then, you know, Spencer Jones can be called up at some point next year. And I don't think Soto goes anywhere. I think Soto's home. I think he's obviously going to try and get the most money he can get out of the Yankees. And doing that in negotiations, you're going to need some other teams for leverage. But if somehow he doesn't come back, the Yankees are set up just fine.
Yeah, man, I completely agree.
Your other point?
So I just want to talk about Pete Alonso. So say if the nightmare scenario that Soto walks to the Mets, would the Yankees consider going after Pete Alonso? That's the question because he's a free agent, I believe.
I just feel like Pete is – all right, I have talked about Pete Alonso and I've spoken very highly of him, but not as a Yankee fan, as a baseball fan. Pete is turning 30 at the end of this year. The Yankees need to get younger and less expensive. Pete is seeking the biggest contract. The biggest contract he's going to get is the contract he's about to get. I understand Yankee fans thinking about him as a rental this year, but I just don't see David Stearns doing that or Brian Cashman doing that because I think what David Stearns is going to want, he's going to start at the top. He's going to start with Spencer Jones and Jason Dominguez, right? And then as they make their way down, I don't think it's the right match. I think people are seeing Rizzo struggle. And they're seeing Alonso, who is proven in New York, who has done it in New York and lives in New York, and are saying, oh, Pete Alonso, put that bat in that Yankees lineup, another home run hitter. But, like, nah, man. It's not a reality to me with Pete Alonso. The Yankees, I don't think the Yankees value Pete Alonso like that. I don't think they'd give up what David Stearns would want. And, I mean, as a Yankee fan, I don't want to see Pete Alonso with the Yankees. Pete Alonso is a Met, and I was saying he should be a lifelong Met. But I just think at this point in this new regime of Cohen, Stearns, and Mendoza, if that offer that was out there of $158 million is actually true, I don't think he gets more than that from the Mets, and I think he walks. And he's not having a banner year so far. He would have to absolutely go on a tear to really command the money. Like, people were talking about him wanting $300 million. No way. Yeah, I just don't see it happening.
Yeah, no, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, Pete Alonso doesn't belong in the Yankees, and I hope that that never happens. So
right, I don't want to see that. For as much as I just talked about, thanks for the call, Patrick. For as much as I just talked about Yankee fans, Mets fans, man, I have a ton of Yankee fan friends. They don't care about the Mets. They can't name players on the Mets. They don't know what the Mets do. There was a long point in time in my life where I didn't know anything going on with the Mets. It's just a different world. And like that, I know it's hard for that to be the case for the Met fan because you're always kind of looking over your shoulder or looking over the fence at your neighbor at the New York Yankees, wishing that you had that in some kind of way. But like Pete Alonso is so many people's favorite Met. I wouldn't want to see a trade for him. And the Yankees and Mets don't do trades very often. There's not a history of that. So I don't think that's going to happen. I think that's just a floated conversation as Anthony Rizzo is on the decline. And I do expect someone in here, a right-handed bat, most likely to platoon with him at first. DJ is like, I don't know. DJ is another option for now. He's under contract. But if the Yankees think they're winning a World Series, and like I saw Ken Rosenthal talking about Brian Cashman and how like if this is the year, they're going to absolutely go for it. I talked to Cashman himself, and he said, we're going to try. You know, other years we've tried, but like we're really going to try. Like, do or do not. There is no try. And I expect the Yankees to do what they have to do to stack the deck and add to this team. I don't expect them to give up what it's going to take for Pete Alonso as a rental. I think the team that trades for Pete Alonso might have some interest in signing him. Like the Jets should have interest in signing Hassan Reddick. And you trade for him, you know this guy wanted a contract from the Eagles. I was talking about it last night, Philly Bull. You know, he went to Temple. He wanted to probably stay with the Eagles, but the Eagles paid their offense. Here we go talking football, which I can easily pivot to. But like the Eagles paid Jalen Hurts, AJ Brown, Devontae Smith, and oh yeah, Saquon Barkley, hundreds of millions of dollars. There's so much money in those guys. They had to make some decisions, and there's no way they were going to pay Hassan Reddick. They can draft and plug in another guy, maybe not as effective because, man, Hassan Reddick is a beast, most notably known for that tackle he made in the NFC Championship, sack that he made in the NFC Championship on Brock Purdy, snapping his arm, which basically sent the Eagles to the Super Bowl that they would end up losing. But Joe Douglas, where you at? That's another thing. I wouldn't make too much of a fuss about Hassan Reddick not being at minicamp. If you were looking for a new deal with a new team, would you show up and potentially hurt yourself in minicamp? I was talking about how I read that Izzy Abanaconda got shaken up. He's a running back. Different, but it's football, bro. Accidents happen easily. I would stay far away from that. And we don't know the details. It's not same old Jets, LOL Jets either. It's business. He got traded somewhere, right? He's not a free agent signing. He got traded somewhere. He's looking for a new deal. This is about money. They have to sign him, and I think they should. I think that dude's a beast. I think you give him the money because you need him. You didn't give the money to Bryce Huff, so you give the money to him. 888-808-1019. Let's break it down here. 1 hour to go. Time is flying. These shows are quick with the Orioles. Not the Orioles. Orioles on the brain. I'm sorry. I'm thinking about the Orioles series coming up, the 17th, 18th, 19th. The Royals, with the Royals series starting at 8:10. These shows for me are quick, fast, and in a hurry. But I did want to plant a seed. If you guys saw Luka, if you didn't see Luka, go look it up. If you guys saw Luka Doncic and how the game ended for him, and then what he had to say in the post game, he's going out super sad. He's not looking like a champion. He's not looking like a pro. He's looking like a whiny crybaby, and they're about to get swept. They're about to get swept. So 888-808-1019, we're talking about the New York Yankees, the New York Mets. And when we come back, I'm going to tell you what these young 20-somethings have witnessed and are about to witness. You're about to add another one, right? A lot of them might have even been at Tom Brady's retirement, which Jay-Z performed at tonight, which is ridiculous. Robert Kraft probably cut him half a bill to come and Jay-Z doesn't perform. He doesn't have to perform. He probably cut him $500 million to come perform at Tom Brady's number 12 retirement. When we come back, I'm going to go through all the championships that these spoiled kids in Boston have seen, all these parades that these spoiled kids in Boston have seen in the last 15 years or so. Keith McPherson on the Fan, 1 hour to go. Call me up. We'll be right back.